Now, Ephesians chapter 6, very important. He talks about, verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the special, the spiritual forces of the wickedness in the heavenly places. Sometimes, maybe not go through the whole book of Ephesians, but I do want to do Ephesians 6 with you, at least run through it, with you. And then, that's our battle. And then he gets three imperatives. The first imperative is to be strong in the Lord, and that is previously defined as the spirit-filled life in chapter 3 of Ephesians. And then he talks about putting on the armor, and verse 10 is be strong in the Lord. There's the imperative. And then put on the armor, verse 11. And then the third imperative is in verse 18, with all prayer. Now let's read this. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the spirit of life. He will guide you, direct you, and empower you in his prayer. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. In other words, we are to pray for each other, because each other is going through various battles and conflicts, and we need to be sensitive to each other, be a prayer for each other in this way. Then he says in verse 19, and pray on my behalf. Pray for me. And I always encourage you and ask you to be in prayer for me. Now look what he says, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Now, next Thursday, I'm going to fly to California and do between Thursday night and Saturday morning. We're going to have a study Thursday night and then Friday night and then Saturday morning before I get back on the plane to come here. The spectrum of people, everywhere from unbelievers to believers who know very little to some of our own papers. I got a call. They called me Monday and asked if I'd come out and do this. And Monday morning, and Jody Brown and I were talking, I said, let me call you back this afternoon. Well, before I called him back to let him know whether I would or wouldn't, a taper called and said, we were gone to eat, so it was on the answering machine. But I understand you're coming to California to teach, when and where we want to be there. We got some other people been listening to your tapes around. And I hadn't even said I'd come yet, and they'd already heard. I have no idea how they heard, because they don't live really close to where I will be speaking. But the point is here, so when you're speaking to this broad spectrum of people, you've got to be able to communicate and to feed each of these various categories what they're going to need to hang in there. So please be in prayer using verse 19 as the kind of a model. Be in prayer beginning tonight, all through next Saturday, in regard to the teaching of the Word of God. And so please bear that in mind. So let's get ready for our study tonight. A few moments of prayer. Find out if we are in the... yes. I'm sorry? Okay, good. Russ, what is it? For job? Oh, we understand that one. And so, Russ, may not know, Russ was in a major accident and only now is getting his physical stamina back where he can go out and get a job. And also, let's be in prayer in regard to getting the job and the right job. In regard to him, the person that will be doing the hiring, and then those he'll be working with. All right, let's go to prayer for the study of God's Word and remember some of these things we've mentioned. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the approach of the Word, going into the real battle, the understanding of the mystery. What is the mystery? Understanding our place in it. Understanding the greater work as they relate to the mystery. The new commandment. Our function. Heavenly Father, we're not here in an academic search. The Word of God is alive and powerful. We want it to continue to transform our life into the image of your Son. Make a difference in our day. Make a difference in our relationship with your Son, with each other, with ourselves. We don't want to understand this simply in the realm of knowledge for the sake of knowledge, but understanding that will make a difference in our life, in our soul. We have such a short time on earth. We do want to please you. We don't want to waste it. We want to fulfill our destiny and our mission individually, corporately. So, Father, we pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will give us an understanding of the things we have before us in the study of the new commandment, that we can grasp it, believe it, and live it, no matter what it costs. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, you ask most people, what is it that will characterize the Christian life? The gentleman is going to have to move over. Here comes a lady who wants to sit there. We have all these rows. Boy, they went there together. I like it. All right. What is it that characterizes a Christian, one who is a Christian? And probably one of the most, if you just took a broad spectrum of people in America, any Christian community, more than likely the primary answer will be, they will know because I live by the Ten Commandments. This is how that you will really know and people will know that you are a Christian, that you live by the Ten Commandments. A lot of people still think you're saved by living by the Ten Commandments. In other words, you live by law. And if you live by law, then this will cause all to know here is a person who is a Christian because they live by law. I watched the film not long ago, and let me just do this. I have some people that always wink on their nose at me when I give the denomination, but it was dealing with people who had come out of this major denomination, and it interviewed and it talked to the clergy who came out of it. It talked to the various levels of hierarchy in this denomination, as well as the people. And it did it in various parts. And it went through various places, both in America and in Europe. And how are you saved? And this kept coming up, obeying the Ten Commandments. And the more you obey and do the Ten Commandments, that's how you're going to be saved. And I think that most people would come up with some type of a concept of doing the law. I don't think Rick DeHaan, who's going to be here in a couple of weeks, would mind my saying that. When I asked him, we got through the gospel, how to be saved, redemptive salvation. And I asked him, how then are you going to tell people on the mission field the most important thing for a Christian? How am I empowered by the Spirit if I've sinned? And he kept stumbling around, and this was ultimately what he came up with, and he knew it was wrong the more he thought about it. But yet this is where people are taken. To the Ten Commandments, to the law. and by this people will know. Now, what we have in the new commandment is that Jesus Christ said, by this, all will know that you are mine, and that is that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, we haven't explained why we call this spiritual love at this point yet in our study, new momentum we're in right now. We went through a lot of this about 91? I think somewhere around 90, 91. And so I've been doing is upgrading it and taking some things out and putting some things in better order. So we'll come to the term of spiritual love. But by this, loving as Christ loved, people will know that you are mine. And he calls this a new commandment, and this is where we are in the midst of our study right now. This is a new commandment. So we have what most people are going to deal with. They're going to know by keeping the Ten Commandments, the law, and then we have the new commandment that Christ has given to us. Now, we've already looked at several reasons in dealing with this word new, why Jesus Christ called it new. It is new in its origin. The origin of the Mosaic Law is Moses. The origin of the new commandment is Jesus Christ. He is the origin of the new commandment. So it's new in its origin. We saw that it is new in its recipient. This one was given to Israel. It was given to Jews. And the new commandment is new in its recipient. And here the recipient of the new commandment of love is the new spiritual creation. Only a believer can fulfill this commandment. And it has never been there before, this new spiritual creature. Three, it was new. It's a new love. It is a spiritual love. That is a love that, as we're going to see, comes from the person of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. It's new in its direction. The direction of this law, of the Ten Commandments, to love, for example, love your neighbor, the direction is a fellow Jew. And it doesn't matter the tribe, but as long as they are Jew, they are the object or the direction of the love. The direction of the new commandment we saw is new. It's a new direction. It is to all other new spiritual creatures, all other believers. We are to love them. Then, so we saw the importance of the fourth. Now, we look at the fifth one, where we left off last week. It is new in its foundation. It's new in its foundation, as I love you. It's new in its foundation, as I love you. First of all, it gives the foundation or basis of this new love commandment. Secondly, it prevents a sloppy devising or making this love whatever you want to make it. David is on somebody's list because he always gets these kind of things. I'll probably read it some night for the fun of it. But he got a letter. And this is the type of thing that causes people to really get nauseated with love. Just really nauseated. St. Jude. And this is what it says. I won't read the whole thing, but you get the idea. I love this. Kiss someone you love when you receive this letter and make magic. With love, all things are possible. This paper has been sent to you for good luck. The original is in New England. It has been around the world 9 times. The luck has been sent out to you. You will receive good luck within 4 days of receiving this letter, provided you send it out. Not provided you do what it says. Provided you send it out. I could have a lot of fun, but we're not here to execute that silly thing. That's the kind of thing that gives just a hard knock. That kind of foolishness. And so people can get very sloppy. But the new foundation, which says, as I, Jesus Christ, love you. This is now a foundation of it. It's not going to be able to be just whatever we want it to be. And then thirdly, it defines how we should love one another. And again, if we don't know how Christ loved, then you're not going to know how to love as Christ loved. And we spent just a few minutes in closing that just there are a lot of major things we can see. We're looking right now how Jesus Christ loved. We all know ultimately the cross. He laid down his life. We know love by this, that he laid down his life. The Bible doesn't define love. The Bible describes love. So in its understanding, he laid down his life. That's how we know love. The love wherewith Christ has loved us was sacrificial to self, and it was for the benefit of others. So here is for the benefit of others. This is how Jesus Christ loved. His love was sacrificial to himself for the benefit of others. This is the way that Jesus Christ loved. And this is the way we are to love. We're studying an example of it in John 14. How did Jesus Christ love? I want to know. I want some illustrations. This is not just a general say, well, we've got to love as Christ loved. Oh, okay. I think this is the way Christ would love. No, we're going to go, we've got to find out how Christ loved. So we're seeing in John 14, he was sensitive to the troubled souls of the men that were with him in the upper room. And he didn't brace them and chew them out and all of those things. He got down and washed their feet. That's what spiritual love will do. In chapter 14, he saw their troubled soul and he encouraged them with all those things that we studied in outline form of John 14. Oh, the whole study. Go back to John 6, the woman at the well. You'll learn how Jesus Christ loved. He didn't brace a woman. He didn't chew her out for all of her life. This is, love just handles things so differently. And we study the person of Christ to know how he loved. So what we have here, that you, as I love you, if you're keeping notes on it, this time we have the aorist active indicative. It brings into all of the life, all of the event. The aorist takes everything that Christ did, not just the cross, but the whole package of how Christ loved us, and puts it into this to this concept. The indicative, the active voice, Jesus Christ, this is his love. Now we're going to note before we close tonight, because I don't want anyone to not know how to love is Christ's love. We haven't really studied it, and even though I've got it in its proper place in our study, it's something that I need to cover right away. Then the indicative mood is the reality of this love, as I have loved you. So this is extremely important if we're going to understand love. We have to understand, if we're going to understand what is required of us to love, what is required of each of us toward one another. So if you want to know how to love, you don't look, we will see later, as we said, but now I can bring things in and add a dynamic as we go through. Love is not known in the abstract. That's why you really can't define love. It's not known in the abstract. There are things you can know out here in the abstract, and that's the way people like to do with love. Let's talk about this mythical, abstract concept of love. No. This love, that the new commandment of the new, of the, this love of the new commandment, this love is known, and it is known in a person. This love is known in a person. It cannot be divorced from a person. You can't take this love out and talk about it. And don't ever try to do that. You can't take spiritual love out from this person and start talking about love as a concept. This love is known in a person. This love is known in the person of Jesus Christ. This love is known in the person of God. God is love. It is known in a person. We have to understand and know this person to understand and know this love. It is known in a person. See, what happens a lot of times to people is this. They start the idea of falling in love. I have my idea. I have my idea of what I want as far as love's concerned in this other person, man or woman. Don't kid yourself. Men go into that way also. This is what I think love, this love should be. And then we try to take our abstract concept and then put it on the person. No, what you have to realize is love is known in a person. This love of the new commandment that we are to have inside of us people is known in the person of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we have had to have experienced this love in order to know the impact that this love should make on others. So there's a pattern that has been established for this love so that we can imitate it. We do not love as we love ourselves. We do not love as we wish. We do not have love as self-serving. Most people's love, the way most people love is, I love you, therefore you are to sacrifice for my benefit. And that's the way most people think about love. That's the reason a lot of people will get married or get married. It's for my benefit. But once we begin to understand the new commandment, you're going to learn that isn't the deal. The deal is love is sacrificial to self. I think one of the most beautiful stories in dealing with the person of Christ is after the woman at the well. What did he do? I love one of the passages. Sometime we'll go back and look at it. But he spent 2 extra days. And I love the way it's read. That means he didn't plan on doing it. We live in such a time-concentrated society. No, I got to get back. I was talking to Jody about it today, using this as one of the examples in dealing with spiritual love, that this is what love will do. And then I got to thinking about it. We just live by the time clock. You know, I'm not saying this is going to happen and nor should it or anything, but you know, I go to California. Let's just say a group of people really catch on. And they want to go all day Saturday into Saturday night, which means, you know, maybe not get back here. And you stand there and you go, what am I supposed to do here? You know, we live by the calendar. And I love the way the passage reads. No, Christ just 2 days he didn't plan on staying there. But they wanted him to stay and teach them. And out of that love, he did. He just, okay, I'll stay a couple extra days with you. Look at John 6. And I don't mind taking his time because we ought to love this way. And the more we see, how did Jesus Christ love? You're seeing it in John 14. But let's look in, and I haven't looked it up, so let's see if, not John 10, I think it's John 4, excuse me. If I can't find it just very quickly, I'm going to let it go. Let's see. Okay, verse 30, they went out, and she goes up, and she says, come in verse 29, come see the man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? In other words, you make up your mind. You make up your mind, is this the Christ? They went out of the city and were coming to him. In the meantime, the disciples were requesting of him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said, I have food to eat that you do not know about. The disciples, therefore, were saying to one another, no one brought him any food, did they? Let's stop on down. Verse 39. And from the city, many of the Samaritans believed. And you got to realize the Samaritans are dogs. I mean, if you are a Jew, you know, we live in a racially hot country right now. I mean, it's only because we're in economic good times. And you better understand that we're being held together. Because if we were not, we're sitting on a time bomb in racial, our nation is so factioned. We're just so many different directions. And this is one of the strongest areas of racial hate, is a Jew and a Samaritan. So let's take a look now. Samaritans, they believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all the things that I have done. Remember, we studied there are things that in the contest between God and Satan, the sufficiency of being God. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans came to him, and they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. Now, this is the way he looked. They wanted him to stay 2 extra days and to teach and to tell them things. We don't know the sermons. We don't know what he taught them. We know that he came for the Jew. He didn't come for the Gentile. He came for the Jew. So we don't know what he called him. That message is not given to us. It's not recorded. But he stayed there because that's what they wanted. People, you have to understand, if you don't want love to infringe on you, then don't say you love as Christ loved. And, you know, I don't mind doing this because most of you here last night, but Jody Brown, I had him talk. This is one of the first presentations he's done for Village Missions. He's done a lot of speaking for the ranch. So he learned a lot. And by the way, he just paid Josh some unbelievable compliments comparing our assemblies and things. But, he told me he had been on this train in Russia, for, I think something like, 12 hours. And, he and his interpreter had a private cart, and they were sitting there, a compartment, and this Russian came in and opened the door, and anyway, can I sit with y'all? I'm on the other train. The other train's a much slower train. This is an express train, and I can get home much faster if you let me. And Jody Brown said, I didn't want to. I was tired. I wanted to get on to wherever they were going, Mekalov or wherever, and I just didn't want to do it. I hadn't bathed, I hadn't eaten, and we're already going to be getting in, you know, late at night, and I'm still going to have to eat. But the man insisted, so he did. So Jody Brown said, okay, you're going to pay for this. And you're going to pay. You're going to hear the gospel. And presented the gospel to the man. And what was interesting was the man said, then after all this, you know, he went through everything in the gospel, and the Russian man said, he understood everything, but he said, and then Jody, do you want to believe in Jesus Christ, your Savior, right now? And he said, no, I'm not ready. And he said that's very characteristic of a lot of Russians, over and over and over. I'm not ready right now. And then they got in, and about 9:30, and the man just insisted again. He insisted to sit in the car, and he insisted that Jody and the interpreter come to his house and tell his wife about the gospel. Tell his wife about Jesus. So Jody just, I don't want to do this. But, you know, he said, I want you to tell my wife about Jesus. I mean, what are you going to say? So, okay. So he goes to the house. And he said, the Russians, well, they got to fix you. They can't just pull out, you know, a pizza or a piece of bologna. So they got to fix a whole meal, even late at night. And he was doing all that. And so when he sat down, the husband said, now, I want you to tell my wife, or he said to the wife, I want to tell you about Jesus. So Jody told her. Went through the whole thing, and then he looked at her and said, do you want to accept Christ as Savior right now? I'm not ready yet. Not right now. I'm not ready yet. But what was interesting was just right at that point, I'm not ready yet from the wife, the husband said, I'm ready now. I want to believe in him. And so they talked a minute, prayed, and they got to praying. As soon as they said amen to the prayer, the wife said, I'm ready now too. And she believed in Christ. But what I'm saying here is that love's going to impose on us, people. And you don't know when, and you don't know what, but we live in this very rigid world, time, structure, people, appointments, everything. And if you don't want love to impose on you, if you don't want love, spiritual love, if you don't want a love that's going to impose on you and just make your life do things you don't want to do, then don't say you love as Christ loved, people. Don't do that. Because you're deceiving yourself, like in 1 John. You're deceiving yourself. This love will impose on you. This love will impose on you for the benefit of someone else. And then when he told me that, because we were talking about spiritual love and imposing and all, and he told me that story, he said, well, he said, I don't know if I was exercising spiritual love or not, because I'm not sure I was in the power of the Spirit the whole time. But he understood the concept. This is what he had to do through the whole evening. And I said, now what would have happened if neither had believed? If neither had believed, I want you to understand, it still would not have been a waste. It still would have been the understanding of the sacrifice of the love for the benefit of another, in just giving the gospel to them. Just to give the gospel. Tell them about the person of Jesus Christ. So we have to understand that, okay, so this is how Jesus Christ loved. So we, our love must be in conformity to his love. everything that about that Jesus Christ did, the forgiveness of love. This is what we are to do. All right, this love is new in its foundation. Let's note a few points. One, the foundation of this commandment is as Christ loved. A love that has never existed before. Why? Because Christ did not come before. He had not become incarnate. No human being had loved this way. So this is a love that had never existed before. A love never existed until God became flesh. And when Jesus Christ came to the earth, God was manifested in the person of Christ. And doesn't it stand to reason? If God is manifested in the person of Christ, that the love of God would be manifested in this person of Christ. And if, before you say yes, be careful, because then if Christ is going to be manifested from you, doesn't it make sense that his love would be manifested from you? To take it apart from even being the new commandment. It will be manifested through us. And we just have to, you know, we're emphasizing the Holy Spirit. And we should. We emphasize the Word of God, and we should. But there are groups of people who are more impressed with the coming of the Holy Spirit and the whole concept of what the Holy Spirit will do in that way, and emotionalism and all, rather than the Holy Spirit pouring this love into us and through us. And secondly, now, in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, we looked at it last week, so we won't turn. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Let's note, I wrote here a few sub-points. Sub-point one, the foundation of love under the Mosaic Law. Now, let's go back to the way we started off tonight. How will most people know that I am a Christian? They will know that I'm a Christian when I live by the Ten Commandments, when I live by the law. Now, the love, the foundation of the love of the Mosaic Law was as you love yourself. The foundation of love commanded by the Mosaic Law therefore relied on a person's love of self. By its very nature, that you love one another as. You see, here we have as, that you love, and we have, this is important, so let's take a look at it. So you'll see what we got. I want you to sink into your soul. We have under the Ten Commandments, and I'll just put the Mosaic Law, we have to love, and here we have, as you love yourself. Now, with the New Commandment, we have love, and now it's different. As, the new foundation, as I, Jesus Christ, loved you. So the whole thing is changing right before our eyes. So the Mosaic Law, the commandments of the law, commanded a love, in second sub-point, a love of self. And therefore it means a choice of action and value all directed towards self. A choice and action are done with me in mind. When you do this one, you're occupied with self. You're occupied with what my best interest. You think about yourself when you're going to love a neighbor. It has some advantages. It has some disadvantages in that respect. Three, sub-point three. The love commanded by the Mosaic Law is a love that focuses on you. As we're going to see, the love of the New Commandment focuses on Jesus Christ. This love focuses on you as you love yourself. The love of the New Commandment focuses on the person of Jesus Christ. It takes it. If we're going to love as Christ, we take our eyes off of self, we take our eyes off of the person, and we always, the Bible, the Word of God, often deals with the subject of love when it's tested, when the person is your enemy, the person has hurt you, the person has sinned, and their sin violated you in some way, offended you. And so now what we have to do is, when you fulfill the new commandment, here you are, what you have to do now, and here is the other believer who has in some way hurt you, offended you, husband, wife, parent, children, somebody in the local assembly, somebody at work, somebody in your social life. They have really hurt you, whatever way it may be. Maybe their tongue, it may be their action, maybe in business they swindled you or something. So what you have to do under the new commandment now, here you are, you have to think, have your occupation go up toward the person of Christ and then come down toward the believer. It's not going to be this way. You're going to love this believer on the basis of how Jesus Christ loved you. And on that basis, then, you say, well, mine has to go up. How did Jesus Christ love me? And something like this. And then it comes down toward the other person. Now, under the law, what you would do is you would go to yourself and then back to the person. And but the new commandment demands that we be focused on Christ. Step point four, you do not set the standard for the love of the new commandment. In the Mosaic law, you set the standard. You set the standard. It would be based on your integrity. It would be based on your interest. It would be based on your evaluation of yourself. They might just catch you on a day when you don't think very much of yourself, you don't think very much of them. So it's based on your own integrity. The law, the love of the law, love that is mandated by the law, is a love that depends on me. My integrity, my person. That's the law, that's the love that comes from the law. Step point five, the love of the new commandment, the love of the new commandment has a new standard. Christ sets the standard for this love. So now it is no longer me who sets the standard of this love, it's Jesus Christ who sets the standard of this love. I'm not the issue. The only way that I'm the issue is, how did Jesus Christ love me? This is the only way that we become an issue in dealing with spiritual love. So in love of the law, I'm going to change the book when we deal with this, and we're going to deal this with the love of the law, love that the law requires. So legal love. Love of the law demands me, my integrity, my person. Spiritual love, the love of the new commandment, is based on the integrity of Christ. It's based on the person of Christ. It's based on His love. So, step point six then, the new foundation. Not as you love yourself, which again depends on the integrity and the energy of the flesh. And by the way, some people in the human race have a great ability in regard to their love of themselves. They have a great integrity. But a lot of members of the human race do not. So, but how you love yourself is not the basis of the new commandment. It is not the basis of how we're going to love. Energy of the flesh, concepts of the flesh, thinking of the flesh are taken completely out of this new love. It has nothing to do with me other than that I'm a recipient of this love also. That's the only way that this love has anything to do with the flesh. Now, we'll go back to major point three. Jesus Christ, therefore, sets an entirely new commandment before us in regard to love. It is not based on individuals' integrity, individuals' energy of the flesh, individuals' self-esteem. It is based on being a recipient of the love from the person of Christ. That's what it's based on. It is based on you being a recipient of this love. And on the basis of how He loves you, and He loved you to the point that He would die on a cross for you when you were His enemy. Just jumping to the ultimate. We know love, 1 John, we know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our life for the brethren. So this is the only place where we come into, it's a whole new standard that is divorced of the law. So it's based on being a recipient. And this is very beautiful. And this is why I say, In dealing with some things in regard to marriage, I have so many things I'd love to teach. I'd love to have a singles class so we could deal with love and trust. And maybe young married couples, here's what we have, but just deal with some of these things in that regard. But a woman is a responder, just like the believer is. Jesus Christ is a bridegroom. We are the bride, and we respond. We learn about love from Him. This is where we learn about love from a person, and that person is Christ. A woman learns about love from her husband. The woman is a responder. And therefore, so often a man, if he doesn't like the way his wife loves him, I said so often, because sometimes a woman can be rebellious and totally out on her own. But so often, a woman is merely a reflection of the love that you give her, that the husband gives her. And she will learn how to love from her husband. This is his responsibility. This is what Christ did. He didn't say do something that he didn't set the pace. He didn't tell us to do something that he first didn't go and do, and we follow him. He went to the cross and died for us. He shows us. And this is what we must understand if we took this down to an understanding in a marriage series, that this is where a woman's going to learn. She's going to respond to love. We respond to this love that Christ has for us. And our response to that love is how the world's going to know that we belong to him as per his words in John 13. So, point four, major point four. Every believer is now to love one another, other believers, not as he loves himself, but as Christ loves you. Point five. Now, to obey the new commandment, the believer does not think of the importance of self, but by nature of this command, he must think of Christ. And I love that. Now, I'm going to show you something. I'll jump ahead with you. I'm going to jump ahead with you, because I think this is just beautiful. By the very nature of spiritual love, it demands, it requires, not demand like an order, but to fulfill it, it requires that we think of Jesus Christ. This is very important. It demands that we think about Jesus Christ. We must think of Christ's love for me. So how I'm going to love another believer, husband, wife, parent, child, in the local assembly, in life, wherever it may be. If we're going to fulfill the new commandment, people, our mind doesn't go to an abstract, what would love do, and that abstract thing, if you loved me, you would do this, that type of thing. No, it goes to a person. Please don't divorce love from a person. Love is known in a person. Love is known in God. God is love. Love is known in the person of Jesus Christ. This is the new commandment. And so what we have is that if I'm going to love another believer, then I must think of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to show you something. We're getting ready. I'll give you a jump start in the prayer. Oh, we got some beautiful things coming up in prayer. Praying in my name. If you pray in my name, I will do it. And I want to tell you, I'll just jump ahead, kind of the bottom line of some of the things we're going to see in what in my name. And what in my name means. In my name means that when you sit down for prayer preparation, we'll go back over a little bit of that. It's been a while since we've dealt with that. When you go into prayer preparation, you have to do the same thing that the new commandment requires from this love. What you and I have to do in prayer preparation is our thoughts have to turn from me to the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm starting to build a little list for you of how many things are like this. I didn't see it before until I started studying the love passage, or the prayer passage in John 14. How many of these things that we do with the first, they always bring us to a consciousness of the person of Christ. If you're going to love, if you're going to pray according to what we have in John 14, in my name, it means you're going to have to be totally occupied with me. So we sit down in prayer preparation. We start off generally with my problems. We start off with my desires. This is where we start. And then we go to prayer preparation, and if we do it correctly, we start shifting. Now, this is my problem. This is my desire. This is what I want. But wait a minute. I have to pray in his name. And we'll deal with what this means. We'll deal with what that phrase means. In my name. And what I'm showing you is, what it's going to do, it's going to require that we must go back and think of him. We have to be occupied with he prayed this. We're doing his work. See, a man leaves the country, and he leaves his estate, is business with another person. That person cannot make decisions on what he wants. He has to make decisions based on what the owner would do. So when you and I pray in his name in regard to the greater work, we have to turn and think of him. When we love, we have to turn and think of him. Are you getting the message? Everything takes us to Christ. Everything takes us back to this person. Our relationship with him. I don't think very many Christians understand that intimate, personal relationship with Christ. What it means to have that fellowship with Christ. And Paul calls it the fellowship of the Spirit several times in his writings. What having that is. That intimacy with Christ. And when you and I love, we have to go, how does he love me? When you and I pray, we have to, is this something he would pray? Is this to his advantage? Is this to his glory? And with no manipulation. It would be to your glory to let me win the lottery. See? That's manipulation. No, we have to set ourselves aside in prayer preparation and start concentrating totally on him, and you'd be surprised that starts to change your whole prayer. Changes your whole thinking. When your thinking now becomes not my thoughts, but him. What does he do? So what I'm showing you here is that so many of these things, there's two of them, love. We have love and we have prayer. And both of these take us right back to the person of Christ by the very nature of the way they're given to us. If we're going to love as he loves, I have to know how Jesus Christ loves. If I'm going to pray in his name, I've got to know how Jesus Christ would pray. So the nature of the command, I must think about Jesus Christ. And it makes all the difference in the world in our lives. It makes all the difference in the world in our prayer, but it makes all the difference in the world in our love. When you're dealing with one with another person, family, church, whatever it may be, and they've hurt you, and they've let you down, they've sinned in a way that hurt you, how are we to think? How am I to deal with that? If we're going to fulfill the new commandment, we have to go, what does Jesus Christ do with me? What does he do with me? Well, everybody's entitled to one mistake. We'll show me that in the Bible. I can show you the love of Christ, it's just 70 times 70. We can look at the book of Amos, which we will. And he kept going back for a woman that lived in adultery against him. This is what love will do. This is why love must be long-suffering. This is why love will make you strong, not weak. Trust will make you weak, because trust cannot bear all things. Love can. It's strong. So if we have this love, it strengthens your own self in regard to living with others. What they do is not going to cause you to be disrupted in your relationship with Christ or your relationship with them. That's what love will do. That's how strong it will make you. Love, we often think love weakens a person and doesn't have the standards. And you start studying spiritual love, you find out the standards of spiritual love, and you find out it strengthens. It's long-suffering. Love will make you long-suffering. It will, the kindness that comes from it, all the things that are there that we've noted and so many more that we have not noted. So the old commandment is to love other Jews as you love yourself. The new commandment, love other believers as Jesus Christ loved you. Therefore, the new commandment is superior, it is a far superior love than that of the Mosaic law. And it is a love that, as I said, it's just, that's the best way to word it, it's just far superior. Now, a new commandment I give to you, and again, the new recipient, and this is the uniformity, as we've already studied. It builds a uniformity, and that's why angels who are watching, angels, Jesus Christ says in the next verse, verse 35 of John 13, all, it doesn't say men, all, well, no, that's angels. Angels are watching. And then man is watching. And there is a uniformity. There's a uniformity about this love. This love is the same in the 5th century, in the 10th century, in the 13th century. It's still the same. It's the same. It's uniform. Why is it uniform? Because it's from the same person, Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's why all will know that you belong to him. This is the way he loves. are you able, willing to love that way? So the angels will know when a person's loving this way. Man is going to grasp and be attracted to that kind of love. Not every man, we know that. But this is how they'll know. This is what Christ would do. He would die in our place. He would encourage rather than brace. He would wash the feet. He'll stay over to that. All these things that we'll be studying. This is how he loved. So it's a uniformity. This is what Paul says in Colossians. It doesn't say doctrine is the perfect bond of unity. He says love is the perfect bond of unity. This is what bonds us together. It's the perfect bond. It's the uniformity. Why? Because it's the uniformity of the Christian throughout all church history. Throughout all church history, there's a uniformity. There's not a uniformity in the doctrine. We have denominations and people and all the rest of it all the way through. But if there's going to be, there'll be a uniformity of love. And this is what he's looking for. This is what the angelic conflict is looking for. This love that we're to manifest, again, is the love that defeated Satan on the cross and redeemed mankind. So, it's uniformity. Then he says, a new commandment I give you, that you love. Now, here's the new commandment. Here it is, that you love. And again, we have the present active imperative. Present active imperative. And the context here, it deals not so much with the disciples as it does with believers throughout all church history. So here is church history. The command is given. The imperative command. John deals with this commandment and in 1 John, and we'll take a look at that at another time. But this is it's an imperative. It's a command. This is what we are to do. Now, I want to deal just so I think probably most here do, but I want to be sure. I've got to be able to know. So here's the imperative. Is to love as Christ loved. This is imperative. That means it's a command. Okay, now we come to the issue, how can I do that? And the greatest thing that any of us can say is if you read through and you study laying down his life for his enemies, all the impacts of love in 1 Corinthians 13, the best thing, the most important thing you and I should be able to say is, I can't love that way. I may wish I could, but when my wife just keeps doing this, when my husband keeps doing this, when this Christian keeps doing this, this person keeps doing this, I can't. I'm sorry. I cannot love them. I cannot love my son who's a homosexual that way. I cannot love this person that way. I can't. I wish I could, but I can't. That's the conclusion we should come to when you read the descriptions that are given in 1 Corinthians 13 and many other places. As you read through it, boy, that sounds great, but I can't. And when you reach the point where you say, I can't, then how am I supposed to fulfill this mandate? And I want to jump ahead to a study coming up. How did Jesus Christ love them? How am I going to love as Christ loved? Let's ask the question. Let's now ask a very important question. How did Jesus Christ love that way? Oh, well, he's Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. Now, let's examine this. And I'll support this with Scripture when we come to it in a place, but I want to be able to say, before we close, how we do this love. How did Jesus Christ do it? There are three options for Christ. Three options for this love. The first option is from his deity. He could love us from his deity. Now, if Jesus Christ loves us from his deity, we will never be able to imitate him. We're dead because we're not God. It's over. Secondly, he could have loved us, or he has the option, to love us from his perfect humanity. He could have loved us from his perfect humanity. Had Jesus Christ chosen to love us from his perfect humanity, I'm dead. I can't do that. I'm not perfect. So I know I can't do it. So I'm dead. I can't do it. The third option open to Jesus Christ is to present himself to the power of the Holy Spirit and to love by the power of God the Holy Spirit. And this is the one that he chose. And then he sent us the Holy Spirit. So guess what? Now I can do it. Now it's in time for me. If I understand it. So how did Jesus Christ love? Not from his deity, not from his perfect humanity, but from the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll see a verse Sunday morning in Isaiah, dealing with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. This is how Jesus Christ did everything that he did. He had to do it this way. He had to do it this way by the power of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people get into theological debates on a lot of things. How did Jesus Christ, you know, how was he able not to sin, not able to sin, and these types of things. And we go through a lot of theology. You don't have to. This is how he was able not to sin. By the power of God, the Holy Spirit. I'll show you verses on these things. This is how he was able not to sin. Same way you and I are. How was Christ able to love this way? How was Christ able to love to the point that he would die on a cross for me? With all my sins and all the problems in my soul. And you too. It was a love poured into him by God the Holy Spirit. He submitted, he presented himself to the Holy Spirit, same way we do. And now people, you and I can love as he loved. Because the same spirit that was in him, when he got topside, he said, Father, send them the same spirit. They're going to need the same spirit. And it goes with that study that we did in Exodus 33. What did Moses say? If you, God, are not going to go with us, then don't move us out. He understood how important it is that God go personally with them. Remember, God said, I want you to move out, go into the land, but I'm not going with you. In fact, I love the chapter. I read it every now and then for prayer. And God even said, Moses, if I go with you, I'll kill you along the way because y'all are so horrible. I mean, it's just best if I not go with you, because if I go with you, I'll wipe you out. And then Moses didn't back off. If you don't go, then don't move us out. He understood it. Christ understands it. Christ got topside and he said, send them the Holy Spirit. If they're going to fulfill the commandment, if they're going to do the greater work, they're going to need the same power I have. God the Father said, I'll do it. And he sent us the Holy Spirit. So now every person, no matter the circumstance in your life, you can't walk away and say, I can't love that way. Yes, you can. You can't. I can't. But with the power of God, the Holy Spirit, I can. That love can now flow through you. It causes an intimacy and a fellowship, as Paul says, between us and the Holy Spirit, so that the love of Christ, that's why Christ is in it, the person of this love, can now flow through us. So that the world sees not me, but they see the love of Christ. This isn't our love. All the things we'll learn about love, love is long-suffering, love is comfort, love is kind, love is this. Remember, people, that this is what love is. This is what love is. Love is the subject. The believer is not the subject. You and I are not the subject. You studied grammar correctly. It says love is these things. It doesn't say a believer is these things. This is what the love of Christ is. This love that is poured into us by the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Several passages talk about how the Holy Spirit pours it in. It's the fruit of the Spirit, this love. So the subject is not me. You and I are not long-suffering. You and I are not kind. Love is long-suffering. Love is kind. The love of Jesus Christ. And this is how, then, if you have the uniformity of that love, and it's uniform between all believers, if you're loving as Christ's love, it's the same love. Boom, 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 you'll always be able to tell it. There's a uniformity in it. Doesn't change. And what is going to be seen is the person of Christ. This is how he loves. How are you able to love your son? How are you able to deal with that person that way? Well, I got an answer for you. This is the way Christ loves me. So this is the way I have to love this person. This is the way I want to love this person. That's our answer. So the world says, how can you love your son who's, you know, homosexual, whatever it is. How can you love another believer? How can you love your husband, your wife, when they've done this over and over and over? I can't. But what you're seeing is the way Christ loves me. How can he love me when I let him down over and over and over and over? That's the way my love will be. There's a uniformity in this life. It doesn't change the same. And it will be known the same throughout all church history. And that's why Christ can say, by this all will know. Because this love isn't different here and then over here. The same all the way through. Let's close in the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the person of Jesus Christ. As we begin, Heavenly Father, to absorb all the things that He did for us and that He means to us and that He is to us, standing at the foremost, of course, is our Savior. He redeemed us from eternal judgment. We have no fear of hell. We have no fear of what's going to happen when we die. That would have been enough. But Father, the more we study, the more we understand, it becomes everything in our life. Our love, our prayer, the aspect of our being is going to be a manifestation of Him. His dealing with us. Pray, Father, that we will continue to put ourselves in that position that we can be transformed into the very likeness and glory of Christ. Not by something we do, because the flesh can produce none of it. But by allowing the Spirit of the living God to transform us into that image. To pour that love through us. We praise You for the God You are. Father, we pray for each other in this assembly. There are problems that believers here have in marriage, in single life, finance, health, so many areas, struggling in the soul. We pray, Father, in the area of happiness, we thank You that happiness is in this assembly. And that are prospering, doing well with people. Pray for pastors. Or teaching truth, Mike Gibson, young man, who understands the truth. Philip McMillan, understands the truth. Jody Brown, understands the truth. So many, Father. We pray for this assembly, that You will use us to perform the greater work as an assembly, corporate body. Your Son didn't evaluate individuals in Revelation 2 and 3. He evaluated assemblies. Church here and the church there. Paul wrote most of the letters to assemblies. Father, we pray that You'll use this assembly, that we can fulfill our individual mission and destiny in a corporate manner. Praise You, Father, for the God You are, in Your Son's precious name. Amen.